Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how, according to statistics, more than 8 million children live with one parent who is addicted to alcohol or drugs. This number includes 14% of children younger than 2 and 12% ages 6 to 11 years old, and 10% of youth between ages 12 and 17. My guest this evening is Donnie Hamilton, author of a very fine book that you will want to get a hold of, a book called A Tiger's Fury, How to Start Overcoming Your Fears Right Now. His book is a personal story as well as a motivational self-help book to help people conquer their fears and a disappointing childhood. Donnie Hamilton is a husband, a father, a former Army captain, and currently a deputy sheriff. It is a pleasure to welcome Donnie Hamilton, author of A Tiger's Fury, How to Overcome Your Fears Right Now, to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Donnie Hamilton.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ellie. That was just an amazing opening there. And I remember seeing some of those and reading some of those statistics as I was writing my book. It's really one of the reasons for getting my story out there.
Yes, and you know, you could have been a statistic, but you rose above the statistics because you write in your book, I was just overwhelmed at the abuse that you suffered at the hands of your father.
Yeah, I mean, just like in the opening there, you know, you can either be a statistic, you could be a victim of your circumstances, but at the end of the day, you can only control your reaction. And when it came to my biological father there, it was, I did suffer through a lot of abuse, physical and emotionally. But I did not let that stop me. In fact, I allowed it to fuel me. And I turned that rage into a desire to be successful, a desire to, you know, take another road and to change my circumstances, to change my life, to go after my dreams.
And I think that was an amazing decision that you were able to make, because you separated your father from yourself, in a sense, and recognized that he wasn't you. And you didn't become fearful or feel disempowered. You went ahead and made a different life for yourself. How did that come about, Donnie?
You know, it comes about through a lot of trials and tribulations. I've been the type of person that has had to just experience it. I've had to put myself in situations that are uncomfortable and learn how to thrive, learn how to be productive in those situations, not allow the uncomfortability or the fear essentially to stop me. I've just not allowed myself to succumb to any excuses.
I think that is an amazing statement, considering what you had to go through. And you did well in school. Is that right?
I did well enough. I think I took school serious starting in junior high, and it really just kind of rolled from there. I probably should have paid a little more attention in college, but just getting into college, being the first in my family to do so, it meant something to me. It meant something to me to do things that my family had not done. And that was my initial motivation. My initial motivation was to show all the doubters and to show that I could, you know, separate myself from that cloth, that I was not cut from the same cloth, that I was not from the same family tree, that I was going to make a difference. And, you know, that started with education for me. A very primary goal of mine from a very young age in childhood was to go to college, to graduate from college, and be successful. I didn't know what I was going to do in college. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I didn't allow anything to stop me from doing it. And, you know, and I had issues when I went to college. You know, I went to college and I realized that, you know, my education maybe wasn't as good in the Los Angeles Unified School District. I was really struggling in regards to, like, retaining reading, and maybe was even a little bit dyslexic, but I kind of pushed myself through that. I didn't allow that to be an excuse. I did the extra tutoring. I did the extra work, and I was able to get through college, and I was able to graduate with over a 3.0, and I was able to go after my master's after that, and I'm not done with my education. I don't think any of us are. I don't think it matters what age you are, whether it's institutional education or just reading, seeking education, seeking self-improvement is definitely a lifetime goal of mine.
How did you know or feel, what made you feel that you were dyslexic, Donnie?
You know, I was just having a hard time retaining the words. I would just kind of space out. You know, I would be reading something that, you know, textbooks aren't the funnest thing to read, but you got to retain it and you got to regurgitate it on a test. And that was kind of over and over again in every class that you have, especially in college. And in college, you know, you're not being held by the hand as much as you are in like high school or junior high and whatnot. So you're not going to get away with stuff as much. And I remember being in my very beginning part of college, I would cheat on tests. You know, I would just look over to my right, look over to my left and try to copy the answers because I literally was having a hard time retaining what I was reading. And then I stopped taking the shortcuts there shortly after I had a professor essentially look right at me and tell me, you know, if you want to keep cheating like that, go ahead, but you're not learning anything. And it was an extremely embarrassing moment for me. It was a moment that I kind of looked at myself in the mirror and said, is this what you're going to do? Are you going to pay for college? Are you going to spend all this time and you're just going to cheat on tests? So, you know, the very next day I went to the administration office and I looked for tutors and I started getting that tutoring and I started figuring out a way to study where it could actually stick. Instead of sitting there and like trying to read line for line the textbook, I typed up notes. I would type up a study guide. I would try to basically like cliff notes and abbreviate what it was that I needed to study. And then I would just read that, memorize that. And then when I went into the test, I was far more prepared.
Well, I think that's amazing that you were able to recognize the difficulty that you were having. In other words, you were one of those people. Dyslexia comes in so many forms, and your form was in the form you were able to read, but were not able to retain what you read. Is that right?
And then that's exactly right.
And then you found a way to help yourself, and you didn't allow it to defeat you.
Exactly.
And you found...
I mean, when I think about that time, and it's something that I still fight today. You know, it's not something that really just goes away. It's, you know, you're reading and you kind of space out a little bit. You know, I think we all go through it. But over time, I've figured out how to rein myself back in. And even if I have to read the page that I just read over again, I just, you know, I'll do it until I get it. I'll do it until it gets into my head. It might take me a little longer to read, but I get it, you know, nowadays.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this evening, we're talking with Donnie Hamilton, a family man and a former Army captain who is engaged in multiple combat deployments in the Middle East, who's written a very special book called Tell Us the Title. And why?
Oh, I'm happy to. A Tiger's Fury and How to Conquer Your Fears.
And you really became a tiger yourself. Didn't you have a picture or a something on your bed that you used with a tiger on it?
I did. I'll tell you, it was just this little wooden picture or artwork. Really faded. You could tell it probably was 10 or maybe 20 years old. And I had it just hanging above my bed. Specifically, I had it hanging above my bed during the time that I lived with my father. You know, I lived with him for about 4 years, from fifth grade in elementary school through eighth grade and junior high. So it was a very impressionable time in my life, a time where It was, you know, I needed to learn how to grow up fast, and I did. But one of those objects, if you will, one of those mementos that really kept me pushing ahead was just this little faded wooden picture of a white tiger, a furious white tiger, with the words underneath it, a quote that is an unknown quote. Didn't have an author. I've looked it up online even since. I still don't know who authored this, but I live by it. And
what was the quote?
The quote is, "The death of fear is certain." If you like to conquer, go after your fears, and the death of fear is certain, is the quote. And so what I take away from the quote is defeating fear, the death of fear. So if you face your fears, the death of fear is certain. And I would tell myself that over and over again as a child. And I would just like kind of dissect the quote itself. And I felt like you're not going to get anywhere in life unless you go after those fears, unless you make yourself uncomfortable. You have to physically and emotionally feel so uncomfortable with yourself, then you know you're doing the right thing.
Were you able to hold on to that quote while your father was beating you?
I was. The placement of this particular quote and artwork, I mean, it was placed above my bed for a reason. It was placed above my bed because most of the time when I was being abused, it was at my bed. It was when I was bent over my bed with my pants down around my ankles, you know, receiving a leather belt across my back. And I would look up at that artwork, and I would look at the fury of the tiger, and I would look at how courageous that tiger looked, and I would read the quote. And I would just kind of kept saying the quote to myself as I was going through it and even in the aftermath of it. You know, this is before, you know, the digital era or having phones or really having any other outlet for emotion. So I would just sit there and read that quote. It was almost like holding on to a teddy bear.
Well, I think that's amazing that that tiger, that quote was able to help you to move through the tremendous beatings that you withstood from your father and was able to help you focus on survival and getting out of that particular situation. We're going to talk more about your very fine book, A Tiger's Fury, How to Start Overcoming Your Fears, right now when we return to take charge of your life and continue our talk with Donnie Hamilton, who's written this very fine book that you may all want to get a hold of, when we return to take charge of your life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. This evening, we're talking with a very interesting guest who's really made a name for himself and a life for himself despite some of the difficulties that he had to go through as a child growing up in an abusive household. My guest this evening is Donnie Hamilton, a family man and a former Army captain who was engaged in multiple combat deployments in the Middle East. He is currently a successful entrepreneur and a deputy sheriff. And his is one of perseverance and profound resilience to conquer his childhood fears that led him to become an exceptional man and found his own security business. Donnie is the author of a book that you will want to get a hold of. It's called A Tiger's Fury, How to Start Overcoming Your Fears Right Now. Donnie Hamilton, it's a pleasure to have you as a guest. And we were just talking in the first part of the program about how you used that vision of this white tiger to allow you to focus on the tiger and to save you from the hurt and humiliation and the brutality of your father's beatings. How did you go on to get yourself a college education? Did your father pay for it? Did your family pay for it? How did that move? How did you get that?
Determination. I'm pure, utter determination. I was not offered any educational scholarships of any kind coming out of high school. I honestly didn't even have much of a plan coming out of high school. I knew I just wanted to go to college. And I realized quickly that I could not afford it. So the only other option I really had was joining the Army. But prior to joining the Army, prior to making that decision to do that, I tried to hustle and I tried to do it on my own. I did what I knew how to do. I did what I saw around me. I went ahead and allowed myself to be a victim of my circumstances for a little while and tried to sell drugs. I tried to do street stuff, and it didn't work out for me very well. I found myself standing in front of a judge for the very first time at the age of 19 years old, and he told me, you know, if you want to keep on doing what you're doing, you're just going to be in prison like the rest of your family. But if you want to do something different, maybe you should join the military.
Oh.
And he was a former military man himself, a veteran. And I took those words. And I went ahead and went to a recruiting office the very next day. I finished my community service. I finished everything I needed to finish from a legal perspective. And I walked right into a recruiter's office and said, I need money for college. This was July of 2000. This is before 9/11. This is before it was, you know, courageous and amazing to, like, join the military and serve your country. This was in a time where we weren't at war and it wasn't very popular. But I walked in there. I took the ASVAB, and less than a week later, I signed myself at Fort Knox, Kentucky at basic training. And eventually in the 82nd Airborne, in one of the most prestigious units in the military, I found myself as an infantryman. I had no idea what I was going to do. I had not been a Boy Scout previous to. I had never shot a gun in my life until I went to basic training. I was a California boy, an inner city kid. The only time I ever saw guns was when they were being pointed at people, but I never actually saw the trigger get pulled. I never actually pulled the trigger myself. I never had a gun. I never even handled a gun. So it was just probably the most uncomfortable, outrageous decision I had ever made in my life. Nobody in my family had ever been in the military before. Nobody could give me insight on doing this. It was a fearless decision. It was a decision where I had to dig deep down and say, it's time to be fearless. It's time to get the heck away from here. And it's time to go make a better life for yourself.
Well, bravo for you. And you did it. And you worked very hard. And you went to officers training school.
I did eventually. So I started going after college right away. I started utilizing my benefits that a lot of soldiers at that time didn't know they had. I had free tuition assistance. I went to school Tuesday and Thursday nights at a Division III university nearby Fort Bragg. I went from 6 to 10 at night, Tuesday and Thursdays, just knocking out classes. And then 9/11 occurred. And within 6 months of 9/11 occurring, I found myself in combat in Fallujah. I find myself in the most ugliest combat zone and one of the ugliest battles that we've ever had in the history since World War II and Vietnam. And I'm smack dab right in the middle of combat. I'm looking around at many times during this time and saying, what did I get myself into? So when I say I earned college and earned the right to go to college, oh, I deeply mean it. Because that's what I did. I literally fought to get money for college. I had to fight to get accepted into college, and I did eventually. I sent out emails to every college in California letting them know that I was a sergeant in the Army and that I wanted to go to college and that I was willing to become an officer in order to do so. And I got one email back from California State University of Sacramento, so Sacramento State, emailed me back, the lieutenant colonel there, Lieutenant Colonel Conley, and said, we want you. We'll offer you a 3-year scholarship to come over here and become a lieutenant. I took him up on that offer. I got out of the Army in 2004, went straight over to Sacramento State, and for the next 3 years, I got my bachelor's degree in business. And as soon as I graduated, I raised my hand again, became a second lieutenant in the Army, and went right back to war.
So you went into what? You went into the Army twice.
I did. I raised my hand twice.
Yes, you raised your hand. Well, that is an amazing story. Tell us, you have something that you mentioned that that the three T's. You call it the three T's: time, talent, and treasure. Tell us about that.
Oh, I would love to. I'm glad you bring that up. When it comes to the three T's in my life, I apply those to, I believe that we can always contribute something. I believe that you don't have to be rich to serve. This is my definition of service. So it's something I live by. You can always give something. You can always give your time. You can volunteer. You can coach. You can help. You can mentor. You can always give your talent. What are you talented at? Are you good at arts and crafts? Are you good at this? You can donate that time, that talent. And then lastly, it's treasure. Some of us, when we're able to do that well financially, we should be giving back. We should be trying to make a difference. You don't have to wait to make a difference. You just need to start making a difference now. Start doing what you can do to try to affect your community, to try to help your family, to try to help the people around you, a cause that you believe in. So I believe that we can all serve in some way. I believe at least time, talent, or treasure, at least one of those T's, we could all be doing, and we would be a lot better off as a society worldwide.
And those three T's would also help us overcome our fears as well. Isn't that right, Donnie?
I think overcoming fear is a lot of things, but I think being of service, stepping outside of your comfort zone, is a major part of it. So yes, I mean, it's a part of it for sure.
So that you really took charge of your life, and you really searched for ways of making your dream come true. You wanted a college education, and you found a way to do it. The Army provided you that, and you entered the Army, and you emerged. You not only entered the Army, you became a lieutenant, and eventually, didn't you also become a captain?
I did, and I think emerging from the situation is exactly a great way to define it, because I eventually became a captain, and even while serving as a captain, being a company commander and a special forces unit and the elite of the elite, I found time to also get my master's degree. I've always just kind of striving and thinking about, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. Anything can happen. I want to make sure that I'm marketable. I want to make sure that I can continue to go after my dreams. Even if I don't have the Army, even if I'm not doing what's comfortable for me, I want to make sure that I have options.
Well, I think that you really have emerged from a very difficult background, and you have determined what your life is going to be like, and you've really worked very hard to achieve that goal. And your book is an inspiration for anybody who is suffering at this point or who is held back by fears or memories of abuse or difficult times. What you're showing us is that if you work hard enough and really dedicate yourself, regardless of what you're, you don't have to be brilliant. You just have to work very hard and commit yourself to a goal. Is that right, Donnie?
Absolutely. Very well said, Ellie. Absolutely. I completely concur. And inspiration, it's what's gotten me through. It's really paying it back for me. There have been a lot of people, leaders, authors, philosophers that have really paved the way for me. I remember reading a lot of Martin Luther King. I remember really feeling his words. I remember feeling those words of perseverance, inspiration, service. And that inspired me throughout my time. It came with a lot of trials and tribulations, terrible trials and tribulations that would defeat most people. And I realized that. But I didn't do it alone. I did it with inspiration. And if I can be a part of that inspiration for anybody else, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I want to do.
And your book is truly that inspiring because it really tells your struggles. One of the biggest things I saw that amazed me was your ability to survive in the Army the way you did, because that was not easy. But you made the most of it, and you advanced, and you really you put your mind to it so that you aren't going to allow anything or anyone to interfere with your goal, which was to get an education, and you advanced in the Army and became a captain. Is that accurate?
It is, and when I think about it, I feel like how impossible it must have seemed to not only myself at times, but I'm sure everyone around me. I didn't fit in, you know. Like I said, I didn't grow up in a rural area. I hadn't grown up with any sort of military anything. In fact, I mean, most of the people I grew up with looked down on the military. They looked down on the cause for it. You know, a lot of my family growing up were, you know, they were sunflowers. They were Woodstockers. They didn't like the whole conflict with Vietnam and everything else. So there was definitely a bad taste left in a lot of people's mouths from that. And my family were a part of that. So it was never anything that was like looked up to at the time. So when I made that decision to do it, I knew it was going to be hard. I knew I wasn't going to fit in, and I didn't. But you don't have to fit in to be successful.
You have to fit in with yourself.
I just worked hard.
Yes.
I worked hard. I just showed people. I didn't open my mouth. I didn't talk much. I didn't say what I was going to do. I just did it. And people had to appreciate that. They had to look. They had said, look, I may not like you, but I respect your work. I respect your game.
I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Donnie Hamilton, author of Tiger's Fury, How to Start Overcoming Your Fears Right Now, for helping us to learn that survivor skills can help us save the lives of those of us struggling to overcome our past, and for the secrets to overcoming our past, and especially for tips for conquering the fears that hold us back, and how to make the positive changes we want in our lives. Thank you for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding the three T's, time, talent, and treasure, and why they are important in helping us take charge of our lives. How can people contact you if they want to hear more or learn more about your book, A Tiger's Fury, How to Start Overcoming Your Fears Right Now? Do you have a website, or how can people contact?
I do. I think there's three easy ways. The first one is, my book is on Amazon, easy to find, and I think contacting me on Instagram is probably the best way. I'm super responsive there. My Instagram is Donnie with a Y, so DonnyIvh. And another way is VigilantTiger.com. So it's our company's website, but we put everything on there. I author a lot of blogs that are there for security and whatnot, so a lot of good free information. Again, that's vigilant, as in being vigilant, tiger.com.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.